together and be in one accord. Father, in your word, you said, where two or more are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. Father, I thank you for your presence. Heavenly Father, I ask that your glory rest upon each caller, Father. Let their prayers be answered, Lord. Let there be no distractions, no hindrances from the word going forth, Father. Let it ignite something within each one of us. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor, and magnify you with all that is within us. Father God, you ask that we love you with all our mind, our heart, and our soul, and we do. We humble ourselves to your spirit, have your will, and no other will on earth will be done but yours. Lord, we just praise you and adore you and worship you for who you are. We are nothing without you, and everything is possible only because of you. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen. Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor of prayer. We thank you, Father, for the power of prayer. We come, God, with a spirit of gratitude on today, thanking you for all that you've done for us during this day. And now, Father, as we quiet ourselves and come before your presence, God, we come with a spirit of expectation and anticipation of what you have to say to us on tonight. God, bless your apostle, woman of God, maidservant, the one you have called out from amongst them to speak your word. Let the anointing rest on her as never before. In the name of Jesus, Father, let her speak in the power and the anointing of God. I pray, Father, against the powers of the enemy, God, in the name of Jesus. I push back on every force of darkness that would try to come against her, that would try to come against this prayer line, that would try to come against the people of God, in the name of Jesus. God, I plead your blood over this prayer line, over every participant, over every household, in the name of Jesus. Father, and I thank you, Father. You said, him that has an ear, let him hear what thus says the Lord. And Father, we come with great anticipation, waiting to hear. God, we thank you for the spirit of Nehemiah that's resting on your people. Help us to build and not be distracted in the name of Jesus. And Father, thank you for the instruction that you're getting ready to give us, that we might go forth and see the work completed. No more false starts. In the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we surrender this time and this space to you. You get the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Atmosphere is shifting. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Next person. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Father God. Thank you. Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. Thank you, Father God, for bringing us back here to the Rise and Shine Ministry, Father God, that we would be able to hear the words being by from our apostle, Stacy, Father God, that it will be used for your kingdom, Father God, that it will be a healing among the groups here right now, and those who are new to be able to hear and have a touch of the word tonight, Father God, that it be used for your kingdom and for the enemy not to be among us, Father God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Next caller. And if you don't feel led to pray, that's perfectly fine. We're finished. We'll move forward. But I wanted to give everyone an opportunity to say a prayer.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we all, as always on Thursday night, we come to praise you and honor you. We together in fellowship to worship you and worship all the wonderful things that you do for us. We thank you for providing us with the opportunity to worship you via the prayer lines that have come available to us. And we thank you for looking over the people that are monitor and operate these prayer lines and all the other people that do participate week after week after week. Father God, we know that despite the bad things that are happening around us, despite the bombings that people are doing, despite the corrupt police that are hurting our black men, we know that you're out there trying to protect us and you have your watchful eye on us. We thank you, Father God, for being that way. Mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 The next caller that want to pray.
Praise your name, Father. Hallelujah. We give your name the honor and the glory tonight, O God. Father, we thank you for victory on every hand, O God. Father, we thank you for your revealed word tonight, O God, that you would manifest yourself amongst your people. God, that your Shekinah glory would fall like rain, O God, and that your people will be free to move as you would call them to, O God. Father, we thank you for the apostolic in the name of Jesus, that you would move tonight, God, like never before. God, that the chains would be removed in the name of Jesus, O God, that you would break forth the fetters in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you tonight, O God, for this season and this time, O God, for fresh revelation, for a fresh wind, O God. We thank you for all that's being done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Any more prayers before we get started? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Well, I thank everyone for your obedience with praying. God is pleased with the prayers that have gone forth. And, you know, everybody glorifies God, and he just loves it. And thank you again for all of my first-time callers. You are listening to Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. And I just want to give you a brief overview. I'm going to start with the message. Like I said, this is interactive, but when I'm done, I always open up the prayer line for any questions, comments, words of encouragement, and then we go into intercessory prayer. So if you have a prayer request, please feel free to present it at that time. And we're also going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for just some of the things that are happening, but I'm going to give some key prayer points as we go through this message tonight. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Nehemiah, the second chapter. Nehemiah, hallelujah, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And can we just praise him real quick? Hallelujah. He is just worthy hallelujah. To be praised. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like somebody got to praise and we're holding it back. For hallelujah. I'm going to praise God for you. Hallelujah. I thank him that every wall in your life is falling down flat. Hallelujah. God said in his word that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And as I clap my hands, I thank God that he's breaking up everything in your life that's not like him in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now, God. I thank you for releasing the breakers and melting, God, upon your people in the name of Jesus. I thank you for a new passion to pray, oh God, a new passion to praise you, a new passion to worship you, oh God. I thank you right now, oh God, for stirring up the gifts in your people, God. And I thank you, God, for strengthening us where we are weak and building us up where we are torn down. Now, God, I ask that you would remove scales from blinded eyes, oh God, and that you would release the spiritual illumination of your word, oh God. Father, help us to be strategic as we listen to this message and receive your prophetic instructions through this word, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I honor you, God. Hallelujah.
For the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letter. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, and I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And when I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on the gate of the fountain into the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall, and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley, so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, no right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. And we thank God for adding a blessing to the reading here and the application of this word. And our key verse is verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? So who on this line is doing some work for the Lord tonight? What has God called you to do? Are you a builder? What are you building for God? What part of the wall are you on? Are you facing opposition? Because let me tell you something. The spirit of opposition and that mocking spirit, and tonight we're going to be talking about how Nehemiah was pointed by the enemy. And I thank God for everyone that's here. You know, sometimes the enemy will say things to us to taunt us. And on Facebook, on the page, I have the taunt button. And tonight, we're going to expose the works of the enemy. And through this text, God has, this is part two. Last week, when we went through this same scripture, I was supposed to start with a different chapter in Nehemiah, but the Holy Spirit wanted me to stay here. And for those of you that are here for the first time, in the beginning of this text, he was, Nehemiah, his countenance was sad. And you wasn't supposed to go before the king and be sad. You were supposed to be happy, like, all of the time. And in the previous chapter, and I recommend that you take the time to read Nehemiah, the first chapter. Just read through that whole chapter when you get a chance. But in the previous chapter, Nehemiah had already prayed. And so when we opened up the prayer line, I asked everyone to pray. And see, when we pray, God goes before us, and he makes the crooked places straight. Amen? So now his countenance was sad, and the king granted his request and gave him permission to go and build. And not only did he give them permission, he wrote the letters for them. He had the equipment. He had the everything that he needed to do the work that he needed to do. So wherever you are in your walk with God tonight, sometimes we think we don't have what we need, or sometimes we feel like we need a little more. But rest assured that Father has endowed you with gifts, so many gifts inside of you. In this season, God is going to allow you to tap into that hidden potential inside of you. And he is stirring up gifts. He's stirring up the revelatory gift. He's stirring up the power gift that do something. And he's stirring up the utterance gift. But there are many gifts that we have. And the motivational gift, the gift of exhortation. We just thank God that he is doing such a great work. And there's many entrepreneurs that's on this line where God has given you a business. And wherever you are in that process, whether you're up and running or whether you're in the beginning of that process, any way you look at it, there's a building process to it. So when we take the time and lay that foundation in the Word of God, then we include God in everything that we do, it's going to prosper. But we're going to face opposition. So I'm going to just get into Nehemiah 2:19, and I want to identify a couple of things. And remember, we're dealing with distractions. And if you have a business and it doesn't seem to be flourishing the way you want it to flourish, and this, you know, I'm just flowing with the Lord right now, don't be discouraged. But go to God in prayer. And I want you to get a piece of paper and write down, draw a line down the middle and put negatives and put positives, and then put accomplishments and then put failures. And I want you to write down all of the things, you know, for those columns, and then take it to God in prayer and ask him to show you how to make things better. Ask him to give you a strategic plan, because a divine reversal is coming and your business is going to prosper. Amen. So we are dealing with distractions tonight, and I will be exposing the spirit of opposition. So opposition is resistance expressed in action or argument. It's to be hostile or antagonistic towards someone. So with the work that you're doing for the Lord, and many of you on this line, you have your own ministry or you've been called into ministry, and even if you, you know, regardless of who you are, If you are a part of God's family, you are facing opposition, because every day somebody is fighting us and we are fighting somebody. And the Word of God clearly tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So when people, the devil will use people to cause harm to you. The devil will use people to cause opposition. And in the context of this scripture, he used Sanballat and Tobiah. So when someone or something is opposing you, they disapprove of what you are doing. And they become very critical. And they try to demoralize you in the work that you were doing, like Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem did to Nehemiah in this text. So there's a couple of things I want to point out. When the enemy heard what Nehemiah was doing, now how did they hear? The text doesn't tell us. It just says that when they heard it. So the enemy was close by watching. And the enemy is close by and he's watching you. And now that he heard this great work that you're going to do, see, because for real, he thought he killed you. He didn't expect you to get back up. And some of you, you've been facing opposition, and it's been battle after battle after battle. You come out of one thing and you think you got a breather, and bam, you're going back into something, you know, another warfare. And the resistance has been great. It's like, I'm plowing. I'm trying to move forward. And it's like there's something in the way. And that's why I started out and I destroyed that demonic wall that's been standing up. And that's something that I want you to consistently do. In the book of Joshua, when they walked around the walls of Jericho, they was quiet until Joshua gave the command to shout. And when they released that shout, the walls fell down. But it wasn't a typical shout. That was the Ruah praise. And the Ruach praise is to split the ears of the enemy wide open. The Ruach praise is to make a clamorous noise unto the Lord. So a lot of times when we are in worship and the pastor will say, praise the Lord, everybody just, you know, some people will praise the Lord, some people may clap their hand, but, you know, they don't really make a clamorous noise. And some people do. But when you make a clamorous noise unto the Lord, when you release that Ruach praise, get it in your spirit that walls are falling down. Get it in your spirit. In 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter, God said that when we praise him, that he's going to send ambushments against the enemy. So point number one for tonight, know that the weapons of your warfare is praise. Where the enemy has stolen your praise be through the opposition and the resistance, through those that have been mocking you and taunting you and talking about you. No, don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil steal your peace. Don't let the devil steal your praise. Even if you are hurting, you in pain, I don't care. Praise God anyhow. Because he said, in everything, give thanks unto the Lord. And when you praise him, you letting him know, God, I trust you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So we're going to learn that Nehemiah, he trusts God. And not only did he trust him, Nehemiah knew that he was not going to be put to shame for putting his trust in him. That's in Psalm 71. It says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. And that word confusion, it means shame. So the scripture tells us that when the enemy heard that he was building a wall, they did a couple of things. They laughed him to scorn. They despised him. They mocked him by saying, what is this thing that you do? And they taunted him by saying, will you rebel against the king? So resistance is the refusal to accept or comply with something. The attempt to prevent something by action or argument. And it's to display hostile behavior, unfriendliness, or opposition. So in this text, we see that the enemy was taunting Nehemiah. And the Lord led me to a scripture for taunt. And if you're taking notes, 2 Kings, the 2nd chapter, the 23rd through the 24th verses. And it says, and he went up from thence unto Bethel, and as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him, and said unto him, go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears out of the wood and care 40 and two children. So how is the enemy taunting you today? And who is the enemy using to taunt you? In every situation that you're going through, did you even think, you know, a lot of times when people mock you, they really mocking God. And they mocking the things that God told you you was going to do for him. Now, let's take a look at the definition of taunt. Taunt is a remark that's made in order to anger, to wound, to ridicule, to put down, to insult, and to antagonize someone. Taunt is to provoke someone or to challenge someone with an insulting remark or to heckle or to tease. And it's a subtle form of mockery. So have you ever been taunted on your job? Are you being presently taunted on your job? Who's that one person that's always trying to provoke you, trying to get up in your face, trying to get you off your square, trying to move you, trying to distract you? We're talking about the spirit of distraction tonight. And the purpose of the distraction is to get you off track. God said, greater work shall we do. So you're in agreement with what God said based on Amos 3:3 that says, can two walk together except they agree? So So you're in agreement with God. You're walking with God. You're living a consecrated life. You're doing everything God told you to do. And then all of a sudden, you start doing this wonderful work, and you face all of this opposition and resistance. And you really don't understand what is happening. What do you do? Where do you go? Who do you talk to? What is this mockery spirit? Why are they mocking me? You know, God, I know I heard from you. I know you told me to do this. And the king gave me permission to go build this wall. But here come Tobiah and Sambalot. And we have to look at how Nehemiah responded. Nehemiah simply said to them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, no right, no memorial. So in layman terms, he was telling them, look, get out of here. This ain't none of your business. You have no legal ground to be here. So we can't get caught up with the enemy there. Most of the time when the enemy get up in your face and is taunting you and provoking you like that and is mocking you, you either going to come in agreement with what is being presented to you, or either you're going to reject it. And my prayer is that you will learn how to reject every intrusion of the enemy, every attack of the enemy. The enemy comes to rob, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus came that we may have life and have life more abundantly. So are you going to arise and build? Last week, I went to Isaiah, the 60th chapter, in the first verse that says, arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So everybody, all the believers, we've been asking God, show us your glory, show us your glory. But let me tell you something. What are you doing to get God's glory? I know we're talking about building, but in the process of asking God for his glory, there are some requirements, because God said that we shall be holy because he is holy. Are you living a holy and consecrated life? And if not, what is distracting you? Are you walking in obedience to God? And if not, what is distracting you? The word of God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Is there any areas in your life where you have not submitted to the biblical authority of God's word, and there's some hidden sin in your life that's distracting you from doing what you need to do? And if so, this is not the time to say, oh, I don't want to deal with that, it hurts too bad, or, you know, because there's a spirit of bitterness, there's a spirit of resentment that is distracting you from your purpose. So people have hurt you, people have wounded you, and this don't have anything to do with this scripture that I just read, but we're talking about distractions. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, the spirit of pride will prevent us from humbling ourselves before God. So God wants us to repent tonight. God wants us to release everybody in our lives that has ever hurt us, in our families, in our church, in relationships, on our jobs, our neighbors. It doesn't matter. The lady at the bank might have looked at you wrong. Whoever hurt you, forgive them, release them, and bless them. And allow God to move in your life. And he's telling me to go to Psalm 66. So just bear with me one moment. Because if we harbor any ought in our heart, God is not going to hear our prayers. So in Psalm 66, in verse 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which have not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. So, and I thank God for this revelation, because I truly was not going to go in this direction. So iniquity, harboring aught in our heart, is a distraction that will prevent us from doing the things that God has called us to do. So One of the things, one of the prayer directives that we're going to stand on tonight will be 2 Chronicles 7:14. And don't feel bad. There is therefore now no condemnation. Tonight, God is really going to break some chains, and deliverance is already on this line. But those things that we've been holding on to for so long, it's time to let them go. It's time to, and when you forgive people, it's not about you and the person. It's about you and God and receiving the freedom that you need to do the work that he's called you to do. Because he needs you to flow unhindered in this season, in which he is going to answer your prayers and show you his glory. So as we get back into the word, thank you, Holy Spirit. In 2 Kings, the second chapter, the 23rd and the 24th verse, the prophet was minding his business. He wasn't doing anything. And these kids just came up and they started mocking him. And they called him, you know, thou bald head, thou bald head. And he turned back and he looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two she-bears. So when people mock you, how are you going to respond? And while I'm going through this message, some of the questions that I present is to, there's a lot of background noise. If you could put your phone on mute. Hold on one second. So some of the questions I'm going to be asking is to challenge you to respond to the truth of God's word versus responding to our flesh. Because most of the time, when the distractions come and somebody, a lot of times, you know, Satan knows what to do and how to do it. And the spirit of exasperation, the spirit of intimidation and irritation, somebody could say something to you and it could just rub you the wrong way and you'd be ready to go rah, rah, rah. But we can't. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. God defended the prophet. The word says that the bear came and carried 40 and two children. So that's an example of taunt in the scripture. So Tobiah and Sanballat, they also despised the work that Nehemiah was doing. So in 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter and the 16th verse, so David and all of his house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought the ark of the Lord and set it to his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Now, the dangers of taunting God's people, as we learned in 2 Kings, it resulted in death. So I want you to clearly understand tonight that your enemies, some of your enemies are about to die. And I'm not cursing anybody. I'm telling you, God has had enough of the foolishness. So I want you to stand in intercessory prayer for your enemies. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, they still have time to humble themselves and repent. And God will honor their prayers, but they must be sincere. Now, some of you, your enemies are going to start coming back to you now, and they're going to ask forgiveness, and you're going to have to forgive them. And this message had to minister to me before I could minister to you. So forgiveness is the topic of the day, even though we're talking about exposing the works of the enemy. So here in this verse, we learn that Michal despised her husband David because he was praising God. And David danced, you know, he danced and came out of his clothes. Well, how many times do you get despised? Remember earlier I was talking about God is stirring up those gifts? See, all of the pain, all of the hurt, everything that we have gone through in our lives, the pain, the tribulations, the tests, the trials, all of it, God has been working it out for our good. The enemy, when he meant for bad, God worked it out for our good. It was painful, it hurt, we didn't understand, but God was building character in us. God was teaching us how to walk with him. God was teaching us how to overcome some situations. God was teaching us how to battle, how to fight, how to war in the spirit, how to build, how to treat people, how to love people, how to walk amongst those that don't really like her. It's so much that God has been doing. And so now, here you are, and the reason I said that, through the hurt, the pain, the trials, the tribulation, Satan used those things to steal our identity and to cause us to come out of agreement with the word of God. God said that we are good in Genesis, the first chapter. He said everything that he saw, everything that he made, it was good. So when did we start thinking we was bad? We never really knew we was bad until the enemy started saying negative things about us. So even for those with childhood hurts and childhood pains, and maybe you've been molested, maybe you've been raped, maybe you've been abused physically, mentally, verbally, sexually, whatever the case may be, and we wonder, why do these things happen to us? And I can't tell you why. All I know is that God works it out for your good, but in that process, your identity is stolen. And when you're walking in that stolen identity, you don't know who you are. You come in agreement with the lies of the enemy, and you live a defeated life. These are some of the walls that need to come down in our lives, because I bind the spirit of low self-esteem. You know, we have to think accurately about ourselves, and we have to judge ourselves based on what God has said, not with what people have said, not with what circumstances have said, not with what hurt and pain has dictated to us through the years. So once you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior, you become saved. You become a member of the body of Christ, but you also enter into spiritual warfare. And, you know, a lot of times at church they talk about, oh, you saved, everything going to be, you know, all peachy in your life. No, it's not. You're going to go through warfare. And if you are not adequately prepared, some things are going to happen, and it's going to devastate you. It's going to make you feel like, oh, why did I even accept Christ? You know, this walk is hard. And some of the biggest battles you're going to experience is being hurt and wounded in the church, being hurt by your brother, by your sister that you broke bread and you prayed with. You know, Psalm 55, David poured his heart out to God because it was a dear friend that he fellowshiped with that betrayed him, that hurt him. So what does all of this have to do with what we're talking about? You know, the enemy despises you. We're going to use us as Nehemiah. Nehemiah is representing the body of Christ. Nehemiah was on the wall. Nehemiah was doing the work. But when Nehemiah went to assess the damage, he went by himself. He didn't take anybody with him. And when he came back, he went to the people and he explained who he was. He let them know, the hand of God is upon me. Will you help me do this work? And on one accord, they said, yes, let's arise and build. And the moment they arose to build, the opposition came. The resistance came. The taunting came. The being despised came. So the next scripture and topic that I want to highlight is the mocking scriptures, because that mocking spirit came also. So they laughed at Nehemiah. But let me tell you something, and I was talking about your enemies a moment ago. The enemy has been laughing at you. The enemy has been telling you what you're not going to do, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. The devil is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Come out of agreement with what the devil has said, and come into agreement with what God has said. Because God said, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So if God is strengthening you, there should never be, I can't do this. If you need help with doing it, then you ask for help. But stop saying you can't. We got to stop speaking self-imposed curses upon ourselves. We have to speak positive words. So Psalm 35, verse 15 and 16. But in my adversity, they rejoice and gather themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not. With hypocritical mockers and feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. So Nehemiah, this is Tobiah and Sanballat. They laughed him to scorn. Can you imagine how he felt? He already had sad countenance before he got permission to come do this job. So now he went out, he's obeying God, he's doing everything that he says. that God told him to do. But now here comes the opposition. They taunting him. They despising him. They are mocking him. What would you have done? You know, I'm quite sure the spirit of discouragement tried to overtake him. The spirit of despair, spirit of heaviness. Oh my gosh, they laughing at me. Maybe, you know, maybe I don't have what it takes to do this. And you know, I know God did call me to preach, and but maybe I don't have what it takes to be a preacher. You know, God called Gideon, and Gideon was a mighty man of valor, but Gideon, he saw himself as a grasshopper. He didn't feel as though he was worthy, but God saw greatness in him. And he put all those pieces before God, and God answered him. And he did what God told him to do. He waited till nightfall to go do it, but he did it. So what is God calling you to do tonight? God wants you to think right and accurately about yourself. I shared that scripture in Psalm 35 because your adversaries have gathered together against you. Just like so Tobiah and Sambalot did with Nehemiah. But God wants you to respond to his word. And for the laughing scripture in Ecclesiastes 3 and 4, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. And God is about to laugh at your enemies. Psalm 37 and verse 13, it says, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. So now I'm going to get back into distraction for a moment. The enemy knows that his day is coming. And he has launched out a serious attack against God's people. God's word says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, Isaiah 54:17. And in Isaiah 54, it also says, they have, you know, let me just go there. Can everybody turn to Isaiah 54 real quick? Thank you, God. Because the enemy is gathering against you. And if we understand that, why do we get upset when they gather against us? When they conspire? In verse 15, it says, behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against me shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, for I have created the waster to destroy. Verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. All I can give you and all I know is to give you back the biblical principles of God's word. Nothing else in your life is going to work. You have to give God back his word. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God is going to raise up a standard. We have to lift up our rod like Moses did in Exodus the 14th chapter. When Moses lifted up his rod, he lifted up a real rod. But for us, we lift up our rod, which is the word of God. When the enemy comes in and starts taunting you and mocking you and despising you like he did Nehemiah, all to distract you from getting off the wall, remember that God said in his word, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. And guess what God has to say about that? In Psalm 64, that's a psalm that exposes conspiracy. So through the spirit of discernment, the gift of discernment, Nehemiah understood the attack that was coming against him. And that's why he did not respond in the flesh. He said what he said to them, and he kept on working. But in Psalm 64, real quick, it says, verse 1, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquity. They accomplish a diligent search. Both the inward thought of every one of them in the heart is deep. But God, and I have to say that again, but God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him. And all the upright in heart shall glory. So we just gave God back his word. And God just showed you in his word in Psalm 64 what he is about to do to your enemy. So don't be distracted. In verse 9, it says, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. So what is the work that God has given you to do? What area of the wall are you going to get on tonight? Because God wants you to receive your weapons tonight. God wants you to receive your weapons. He wants you to work and pray and be ready at all times to go into battle. Don't even wait for the enemy to rise up against you. Go into the enemy's camp and destroy and take back what is yours. In 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, it says, pursue, overtake, and conquer all. The devil is a liar, and I'm tired of him bothering God's people. But we have to give God back his word. So what is a distraction? A distraction is a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. The Tobias in your life, they are sent on assignment to distract you from moving forward in the things of God. That some of you, you've been trying to pray, and you've been having a hard time praying. You've been trying to pray, and it's like you really, really pressing. Psalm 34, it says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Sometimes your flesh don't want to praise, but your spirit is ready to praise. And so it says, my soul shall make her boast. So we got to be intentional about praising. Don't be distracted. You're in church and you're worshiping, and somebody could start talking behind you, or somebody child behind you. You know, they laughing and they talking and they playing on the phone. Distraction to stop you from praising God, because the enemy knows that the moment that you really give some heartfelt praise, that the walls are going to come down and God is going to meet you and he's going to supply every need. And then once that thing becomes corporate and the whole house is on one accord, my God, God does so many miracles, signs, and wonders. So what's distracting you tonight? A distraction can be a diversion. It could be an interruption. It could be a disturbance. It could be interference. It could be a hindrance. And a lot of times it's extreme agitation of the mind and emotions. The enemy will use people against you to get you off your square. And the spirit of intimidation, the spirit of manipulation, they work together. These are some of the controlling spirits that love to get control of your mind so that you will think negative and you will stay in that negative place where you're never going to move forward and do the things that God has called you to do, because now you feel unworthy. You don't feel like God can use you because of whatever happened to you in your life, or maybe you fell short of the glory of God in one area of your life, and the enemy has been using that to humiliate you, to bring shame to you, to embarrass you. No, the devil is a liar. You are going to do the work that God has called you to do. But God wants you to know tonight that distractions come in all shapes and sizes. Distractions come in a variety of flavors. And distractions are based on the things that you like, and distractions are based on the things that you don't like. Distractions are based on the things that turn you on, and distractions are based on the things that turn you off. Okay, Apostle, what are you talking about? What does that have to do with this message? All right, I'm going to tell you what it has to do. The enemy is watching you. The enemy is observing you from the day that you accepted Jesus Christ into your life as Lord and Savior. He has been keeping track of all the things that you do, all of the things that you like, everything that irritates you, the things that make you angry, the things that you lust after, the things that make you happy, the things that hurt you, and the things that upset you. And this is done through monitoring spirits and through familiar spirits. They watch you in the spirit. And they are very strategic with learning and observing you. And once they watch you, they go back to headquarters, and that's where the attack is really launched against you. because they've been watching you, they've been observing you, so they like, look, I'm going to use me for an example, because last week I shared the testimony about my daughter, but the enemy has been using my daughter to provoke me, and was using my daughter. So the familiar spirit that was watching me, he went back and he was like, look, I've been watching Apostle Stacy, and everything we've been doing to distract her, nothing worked. But when we use her daughter to disrespect her and talk back to her and get all up in her face like that, that really makes her lose her cool. And I never saw the pain like I did when her daughter, the way we used her daughter, this last attack against her, it hit the bullseye. She went for it. We got her. Do you understand what I'm saying? I always use me as an example, because if I am going to preach this word, it's going to be something that I can relate to. The enemy is watching you because the enemy was watching me. And you know what? She provoked me, she irritated me, and I got off my square. And I had to repent and ask God to forgive me. So why did I allow her to taunt me when I already knew that she had aught in her heart against me? So walking in love, I chose to forgive her. And in the process of apologizing to her, when I didn't even do anything wrong, she just rose up again. And at that very point, God showed me that she was a big distraction from the real issue, which brings me back to Nehemiah. The real huge distraction with Nehemiah was Tobiah and Sanballat. But Nehemiah was not distracted by what they were doing. And next week, I will be going in a little deeper with Nehemiah, the sixth chapter, and exposing the, because this is only chapter two, but all throughout the book of Nehemiah, Tobiah and Sanballat, there was different things that they was doing. Last week, we exposed the spirit of entrapment, and this week, we're exposing the spirit of mockery and that taunting spirit. So tonight, we are going to, I just want to share Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, real quick. Nehemiah 4 and verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And again, he's talking about Tobiah and Sanballat. So nevertheless means that in spite of what is happening in the previous verses in this chapter, in verse 9, they made a decision not to be moved by what them was doing. So them is Tobiah and Sanballat. They made their prayers unto their God. They set a watch against them day and night because of them. So what are you doing to set a watch in your own life? Because now we just read the second chapter of Nehemiah. I shared some scriptures with you. We clearly identified the mocking spirit, the spirit that despises, the spirit that will taunt. And we also learn how to respond to those spirits. We learn how to respond when you're being taunted, when you're being despised, when you're being mocked, and when you're being laughed at. You know, when the enemy come and he laughs in your face and he starts teasing you, you know, don't be moved by it, because you know what God says in his word. He's about to laugh at your enemies. So the reason I read Nehemiah 4 and 9 is because nevertheless, no matter what you're going through, please stay in the posture of prayer. We must watch and pray, because the devil is like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion, but he's seeking whom he may devour. So real quick, I just want to touch base on how to discern and silence a mocking spirit. Now, this little excerpt that I'm going to read, this is by Phyllis Tarbox, and it's very, very good. And after I finish this, I'm going to just go back and wrap up. Mocking spirits are easy to discern and silence when you know the truth. The definition of mock means to deceive, to delude, or disappoint. Mocking is a counterfeit, an imitation, shame, or fake. So synonyms for mockery is cheat, dupe, fool, or mislead. And one of the famous words, not famous, but I guess I made it famous, thank you, God. But I like to use bamboozle a lot. So perhaps you have heard or held a private conversation with the spirit of mockery. And if you did, it would go something like this. Who do you think you are? None of this God stuff will work for you because you are worthless. Do you really think anyone will listen to you? Mocking spirits make fun of your God-giving identity and purpose in life to limit you. God says you are more than good enough. You are more than a conqueror. Romans 8:3-37. God calls you worthy, and God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I said that earlier. That's Philippians 4:13. You are not rejected, but you have been adopted into the family of God's Son. Ephesians 1:5. So the demons of mockery are common thieves that come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And that's John 10:10. They remind you of your past. So this is why I'm taking you back to some of the things I was saying about our childhood hurts and pains, even our teenage hurts and pains. It's time to deal with all of that stuff. Some of us, we've been wearing our hurt and pain like a badge of honor. You know, like when you go to some churches and the ushers greet you at the door and you see they big old badge and say, Usher Lucy, and they just be so smiling and ready to usher you. They proud. They proud to represent God. They proud to greet you. They was placed on that